Gospel of John again, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, you know the devil hates the Bible. He tries to destroy it and tries to get people to doubt it. And I'm sure anytime there is a text, of course, he hates all the Bible, but anytime there is a text that he really attacks, there must be something in there that's rather important to be understood. In John chapter 5, this is a very attacked portion of Scripture. All the funny Bibles, as I call them, even take out the verses that we'll be reading tonight. And by the way, you want a Bible. I know this is a good church. You understand the importance of the King James Bible. I've started telling people, I just want a Bible that has all the words in it. Amen. That would be a good start, wouldn't it? I just want all the words. And this chapter we're going to look at, the devil has taken the words out. I mean, some Bibles, you'll come and it'll just skip the whole verse because of the strangeness of the text. Not only that, but history has attacked this portion of Scripture, saying that no such of a place ever existed that is being written about here that we're fixing to read about in John chapter 5. But just last year, they did some more archaeology over in Israel and around Jerusalem, and they found this place that is written of in the Bible. And that just tells me that people need to dig a little deeper before they start saying that God doesn't know what he's talking about. You just need to go a little bit deeper. And they also said that about the Assyrian Empire, all those things in the Old Testament. They said, oh, that's fiction. That never happened. And then they found out later that it did happen. And the Bible's right. And there's something in here that must be very profound, or I would say the devil wouldn't try to attack it so much. And so I want to look at it in the light of missions. And I don't want to pull out something out of the Bible that's not there. Though some people said, you know, you just read missions everywhere in the Bible. I can't help it. I just can't help it. I just see it there. You know, you can see Jesus in every portion of the Bible. The Bible is just a wonderful, deep book. Would you stand with me? I don't always do that, but maybe you look like you need a rest from sitting. Amen. We'll read this portion of Scripture together tonight. John chapter 5. Let's see what all the fuss is about. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. God will bless his word. Father, we pray you would help us tonight through the scripture, and we'll bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want you to take a journey with me, if you will, in your mind, down to the Pool of Bethesda. There are five porches. History tells us there's not a pool that has five porches. A pool, you know, it's got four sides. How can it have five porches? Well, archaeology has showed them wrong about that too, but I'm not preaching on that. When God said, if God said there was 12 porches, I'd believe there's 12 porches. Doesn't matter to me. But there's five porches here. The Pool of Bethesda, the word Bethesda has a meaning of mercy behind it, or grace, or kindness. And yet this is a very sad sight. In all of these porches that are around this pool, there are diseased people. They've got all kind of different kind of problems and diseases of a physical nature. And they fill all these porches. They're full. And they're waiting for a miracle. I call these porches the five porches of human tragedy. I mean, you would have seen the worst of the worst. They, you know, if somebody had a problem and they couldn't get any help, they, well, take me, just lay me down there at the porch. Maybe I'll be there when the angel comes and stirs the water. Maybe I'll have hope there. And many of them been waiting there for years. This man that we're running into tonight, 38 years he's been in this condition. Can you imagine just laying on a porch, no hope, with your infirmity, sick? I think about these porches and I think about our hearts and how we would view that. You know, Jesus said, he told all of us to look on the fields. I think he told us to look on the fields of the world because our eye affects our heart, and sometimes we don't want to see the porches of human tragedy. We would rather just look at our... It's so easy not to worry about meeting a need if you don't ever have to look at it. Probably one of the best things that ever happened in my life was when I graduated Bible college and I got married and ordained, and I became an assistant pastor to an older preacher at 21 years old. And that old man, the first thing he did every day, just about every other day, he'd pick me up and he said, all right, you're going to go visiting with me. And I thought, well, amen, we're going to go, you know, soul winning. Or we're going to... No, no, you know where he took me? He took me to the hospital. And he took me to the nursing home. I didn't like to go to the nursing home. I didn't like to see all that. I still don't like to go to the nursing home. There's human tragedy there. But that old man made me sit with those people and talk to those people and pray with those people and see their tears and see their loneliness and see their burdens. You know, I wonder tonight if we would step out of our blessing of our life and we would just cast an eye at those porches tonight that are all around the world, of people that have more than just a physical need. They have a much greater disease in their life. Why five, Lord? Maybe they put certain people with this problem on this porch and certain people with another problem on this porch. Maybe we visit this one porch and we see all the diseases of the body. We see they're stricken with, some of them are lame. All of these people are impotent, the Bible says. That means they have no strength. They have no strength at all. They have no strength of body. If we visit one porch and here's all these people, they've got all these diseases and they can't walk and they have pains in their bodies and they're hurting and they have no hope for those pains. Those diseases maybe have crippled them so, or they're lepers and maybe some of their limbs are all decaying. We would say in our day, maybe they've got cancer, maybe they're paralyzed, but they're in constant pain and they're just laying there. And the average Jew's not going to go down there. He don't want to see that. He don't want to look at that. He didn't want to hear the cries of those people. He didn't want to hear the stink. You know, nursing homes don't smell very well, do they? Our brother's going to the Dominican Republic. I've been there, and I've also crossed over into Haiti and seen the disease over there. Look at those porches. No strength of body. We move. Go to another one. Let's get to another porch that they're without strength in a different way. Here's a porch where these people are despondent, and they're just in despair. They're discouraged. They're distressed so in their heart. They have no strength of heart. They have no strength of mind. They have no joy. They have no peace. You know, that's a disease too. They see no reason to live. Oh, that we could go around this world and see all the people that are hopeless and they have no smile and they can't seem complete in thee and they can't see a justified, oh, blessed thought. They have no blessed thoughts. They're at the end of their rope. They're ready to take their life. They don't even see life as even worth living because of the despair that's in their life. And no one has shown them any other hope and they're just laying by the pool. Year after year and day after day. Maybe the third porch has another type of disease. Maybe they're defiled and depraved and dirty. Diseases of addiction, diseases of sin, diseases of perversion. People laying in their filth, if you will. People overcome with their sins, and maybe they're not even addictions. Maybe they're overcome with the disease of wrath and anger and bitterness, and they have no strength to do right. They're just dirty, laying in their dirt and their filth and their sin. You know, all of these porches ultimately, what is going on with them, that's the picture of what sin has done to our world. Because if you'll cast your eye down to the verse where Jesus meets the man again after he heals him, and the Bible says in verse 14, if you look at it, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Watch, look at it. Look at your Bible. Sin no more. You see that? This man was diseased. Somehow sin was connected with his disease. He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come in you. You think your porch was bad. There's another porch that you can get on that's even worse than the porch you were on. Right. Yeah. Because sin diseases your life and destroys your life. Yep, right. Yep. Now you say, preacher, you're saying is all sickness a result of sin? It's not. Are all diseases and all problems in the world result of sin? Well, ultimately, yes, maybe not yours, but someone's. If you have to go all the way back to the garden, it's all of the disease and all of the problems, and people blame God on that. That's man's fault. There were no hospitals in the Garden of Eden. There was no medication needed there. There was no disease there. Man thumbed his nose at God and then got all the diseases that passed down to all of us. And here's all these people. Jesus said, hey, don't sin anymore. You're going to have a worse thing coming. You know what I've noticed, Brother Bevins? I hate to say this. In this 35, however many years I've been in the ministry, I've watched people go from bad to worse. Just bad. Go from one porch to the next. And you're just one decision away. But matter of fact, you say, why are you preaching this missions conference? I'll tell you why. If you're sitting on the porch, you're not going to help anybody else on the other porch. If the church isn't well, how are we going to help the sick? If we don't have strength, how can we help somebody that doesn't have any strength? If our life is a mess, how do we have the answer? The church needs revival, the church needs to be pure, and the church needs to be clean so we can actually help somebody that has the need. Instead of me being the one that needs the help. You understand? I can become a helper. I've got to let God help me off that porch if I'm going to help somebody else off that porch. The depraved. I'd step to a fourth porch over here. I would call these the damaged. Somewhere in their life they've been damaged and they have no strength to get past that in their life. You know how many people in our society have been abused? And they just lay on that porch. And they're diseased with all that because of somebody else's actions toward them. Oh, there's so much of that. And nobody wants to go down there. The things that I've heard and the things that I've had to deal with as a pastor, not with people that have never been to church, but people that have been in church. People that are damaged goods in their heart. And they can't get over the hurt and they can't get over, they just have no strength to keep going on. And so they just lay by the pool with their disease. With their mental problem, with their heart all broken to pieces. Hey guys, that's all around the world. Maybe you go to that last porch and that porch is so dark because that's a porch where people have been deceived and they have no strength to see the truth or find the truth because they're in the darkness of Satan and Satan's blinded them and their lives have been diseased with deception, maybe diseased with religion. I cannot imagine being born somewhere where I've been told about millions of gods or born in a society where I'm told there is no God or I've been brainwashed to believe in a God that tells me to kill other people. We're talking about a disease. Islam is a disease. Hinduism is a disease. False religion of all kinds is a disease. It blinds people. The Bible says these people were blind. They have no strength to even see where they need to go. God says, look at all these porches. I look at those porches, you know, it makes me want to step back and say, thank you, Lord, I'm not on them porches. Or maybe if I was on that porch, thank you, God, you got me off of that porch. When I think about these five porches of human tragedy, I think about the fact that nobody wanted to go down there but one man. And that was Jesus. Now look at your Bible. The Bible says in verse 4, I want you to see this angel here. This is a wild thing in the Bible that people don't believe. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So the reason that these porches are full is because there is a miracle that happens, and they don't know when it's going to happen, but at a certain season, an angel comes down and steps into the pool and troubles the pool. And the first person that gets in the pool when the water's troubled gets healed. Didn't matter what's wrong with them. And so all these people have gathered around waiting for their miracle. But the problem is only one of them gets it. Now, you say, you believe that, preacher? I believe that story. I believe the angel stepped down there and made a heavenly jacuzzi in that water. And I think it's made a little whirlpool. When they saw that going, boy, they gotta get to the pool. Who's first? You see them struggling to get in the pool? Maybe I can make it. And somebody beat them. And they crawl back to their porch. Why is that? Why is that in the Bible like that? Well, I'm very curious of what it says. An angel, it says, troubled the water. Didn't say he moved it, said he troubled it. I think there's something in there for our hearts. You know, sometimes trouble's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. If the water wasn't troubled, somebody wasn't going to get some help. The troubling of the water. Have you ever heard anybody that was blessed by someone else, or maybe they were served by someone else, and they'll say, hey, thanks for going to the trouble. In other words, you went through some trouble so I could get some help. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I'm troubled on every side. You know how much trouble the missionary went to, amen, to get the help that people needed? If the angel doesn't trouble the water, then there's not going to... You know what trouble it was for our Lord to go through all of his sufferings to get us help? Trouble is not a bad thing. Sometimes it'd be a good thing. Matter of fact, even trouble in your life can be a good thing. It can get you to God. It can be something sent from God. That church of Macedonia that did more than any other church for missions, the Bible says they were deeply poor. They did more than any other church. And in their trouble, God used them. Trouble can be a great... Matter of fact, sometimes when you never have any trouble, you're not worth shooting. Because you don't have any needs, and you don't even think about anybody else's needs. You're so spoiled. Trouble has a way of, amen, pointing us to God. Matter of fact, I could give you several illustrations. I think of a man right now. We prayed for him for years and years and years when I was in Virginia, and we begged God to save this man. He was a moral man. His wife was a holy, godly woman in the church, and he just wouldn't come to church. He just didn't care. He was as moral as people that went to church, but he didn't want to get saved. He wouldn't humble his heart. Every preacher that ever came to that county tried to witness to that man, tried to take him from every angle, tried to be his friend, tried to, you know, did everything. Wasn't interested. One day that man got cancer, and he started having to wear, with his colon, and he had to wear this bag, and his life got troubled, and then all of a sudden that went from bad to worse, and he got in the hospital, and he was dying, and I got burdened. We begged this man to get saved. And I went up to the hospital and I did something I've never done. But you got to understand, years and years of trying to witness, nothing fazed him. And he was laying there in the bed. And I said to him, he was in pain. And I addressed him. I said, you know the pain you're in right now, and I love you. You know the pain you're feeling right now, that's nothing. You close your eyes without Jesus Christ and burn in hell for eternity. Now, I was in my 20s when I said that. He told his wife, don't ever let that young preacher come back in here and talk to me anymore. But listen, you know what happened? He never forgot that. And he stewed on that. And he didn't want to talk to me, but another preacher came by. He said, I think I'm ready to hear that story again. You know, the best thing that ever happened in his life was the trouble that came in his life. You understand? I'm thinking right now, I got a church member right now, has a son in his 20s, has gone way out into the darkness, way out into perversion. Dad with a broken heart can't reach his son. Talked to him last week. He said, a 20-year-old son had to go to the emergency room, didn't know what was wrong with him. Got a big tumor in his heart. 20-something years old. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying that the trouble will bring him to God. The angel troubled the waters. You know, it's good for us to go to a little trouble in missions conference so somebody might get help. It's good for us to have a little trouble maybe figuring out how we're going to work things out financially to get the gospel afar. Because remember, those porches are still there. Bible said an angel came down and troubled the water, and the first one that gets in got help. Not a lot of people are getting help, though. Look at verse, let's keep reading. The Bible says in verse 5, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I want you to see the absence of help. This man didn't have any help. He couldn't get to the pool. He said he wants to get to the pool. He wants to get to his help, but he can't get to his help because he doesn't have the strength to get to the pool. He needs a man to help him, but nobody's there to help him. The religious people aren't there. Nobody wants to take the time out of their schedule to go down to the pool and wait for the movement of the water to put anybody in the pool. Oh, let them take care of themselves. Matter of fact, the scribes and the Pharisees and the people that are supposed to be the people of God, when the man does get healed, they complain about it. They not only won't go down to the porches, they're not even happy when one of them gets delivered from the porches. And they criticize the one that delivered them. You know why? Because they cared more about their religion than they cared about those people in those porches. They cared more about their religion than they cared about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to ever be guilty of that. I don't want my life to be about my religion more than it is about those people that are down there in those porches. In other words, I don't want my life just to be about my church and my thing, because there's a world filled with human tragedy that need to know about Christ. They're not down there, but Jesus is down there. And the guy says, I have no man. I have no man. It's like the Psalm, David, when he wrote, you know, no man cared for my soul. There's nobody. Guys, I think that's why we need to take a trip to the mission field or take a trip with our hearts looking on the screen or whatever we need to do. And we need to see some of these people around the world that don't have anybody. They don't have anybody. Will you be that man to help them? Will you be that church to help them? I have no man to put me in the pool. You see, this man thought he needed the angel, but he didn't need the angel. He didn't even need the pool. He just needed a man. You know, all this world needs is Jesus and a man that will show them Jesus and introduce to them Jesus. They don't need all the things they think they need. No, they need to quit waiting on what they think and just embrace the Lord Jesus Christ that's in front of them. He's waiting for an angel, but he doesn't need to. The Lord is there. He needs to quit waiting and embrace the Lord. And may I say, we as a church, we need to quit waiting. We need to quit waiting and embrace the Lord and embrace what he wants us to do. I'm just waiting. No, quit waiting and start believing. This man had the absence of help. But what I want to get to here in the ending, this is strange. Verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Is that not a very strange thing to ask a man that's been sitting there for 38 years? I mean, that's a question that gets you cussed out. Right? I mean, you're sitting there, you're waiting, you're wanting. And a guy comes by and says, you want to be well? No. I just love laying here like this. Is that not an odd question? Wilt thou be made whole? But the more even funnier thing is what he answered him. Let me ask you a question. What is the answer to wilt thou be made whole? Yes. Pretty simple, isn't it? Do you know that's not what his answer was? Jesus said, you want to be whole? He said, sir, I have no man. That's not what he asked you. Do you want to be whole? The answer is yes. You know, Jesus Christ is reaching out to the world that way, and they're not answering the question. And Jesus Christ is speaking to our hearts many times, and we're not asking the question. We're not answering the question. He'll say to us, will you sell your life out to me? Will you give your life to me? Will you just wholeheartedly give yourself to me? And then we'll start giving some other answer. And the answer is either yes or no. Because you know what? Some people don't want to be made whole. And some people really don't want Jesus. That's why he's asking him. The strangest thing about this story with all these people, there's a multitude in all these porches. Listen, all of them need Jesus. But only one of them get help. Maybe he asked somebody else that question. Maybe he got a different answer. Do you want me to help you? What would Jesus be asking you? Would you give him an answer? You say, you know what? This is almost seemed like a failure, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus has all power. Let me ask you. Could Jesus just cleared all those porches out just like that? Could he? Could he? Could he? He didn't. Was it his fault?
No.
Not his fault. The fault is the answer to the question. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want me to do this for you? Evidently, there was just one. But you know, guys, listen to me. That's what missions is about. It's about that one. Yep. Yep. I told you last night about us taking our church down to Greece and city of 50,000 people down there, 60,000. We took, I don't know, 50, 60 people from our church. And I'm not like, we don't have as good church as you. I couldn't leave my church for a month, but I was almost there for 3 weeks, almost. But we worked the whole month in that city. Guys, day and night, we put a piece of literature in every dwelling. We preached on the street just about every night for hours and hours. We mingled with the people. We did our, we prayed, we cried, we begged God, we had meetings, we had music. I brought musical people to play music on the street. We did everything we could and we begged those people. We had a few people come to our meetings, and we had one young man, after he read a tract, said he got saved. That was it. And one of my men, when I got, he came to me when we got back home, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "this really bothered me." He said, can you help me?" He said, "We spent all this money, we prayed, we fasted, we worked and worked and worked. Why did we do this?" We did it for the one that wanted it. And we did it for Jesus, and we did it to give them a chance. We went down by the pools. And I said, "Now you know how a missionary feels. That labors and labors. Maybe the crowds won't come." Jesus walked away from the five porches of human tragedy with one rescue. And you know what? I bet you that man would tell you it was worth it. Are we willing? Are we willing to go to the link to reach that one? Are we willing to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ for those people for whom he died that are impotent and without strength? He's the only one that was healed in the crowd. He's so strange. The five porches. In our English Bible, he said five words to him. And you know how many wounds he bore on our cross, on the cross for us? Five bleeding wounds he bare. Received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Because all those people were impotent. But Jesus was omnipotent. And he said, "I don't need an angel. I don't need the pool." He said, "Rise up. Take up your bed and walk." And immediately, there was no process. There was nothing to go through. Immediately, the man's healed. Immediately, the man gets up. Because the Bible says, in his times, he'll show who is the only blessed potentate. That's one of the words of our Lord. He's potent. The world is impotent. But he has the power. He has the power to meet the need. And he's still working. And when they said, "Why did you do this on the Sabbath day?" He said, "Because it's the work day. I'm glad that Jesus never takes a day off." Amen. He'll work every day of the week. He's always at the porches. He's not taking a day off. In church, we need to follow the example of our Savior. And not take the days off. And not say, no, today I'm not going to work. I'm just going to give. There's always someone there that needs to see the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I get to heaven, there'll be no porches up there. When I get to heaven, there'll be no tragedies up there. There'll be no victims, and all those people that I just mentioned tonight. I'm glad God can take someone that's been abused and is damaged and is depressed and diseased and dark and defiled. And the power of Almighty God can change all of that. And if I believe that for me, can I not believe that for the world? And would I not be willing to go take a trip down to the porches and be that man that would be interested in finding a man that wants to be made whole? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray you would open our eyes that we would see. I pray, Father, that you would give us the heart of your Son. And Lord, that you would give us compassion. I don't know, Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's laying on a porch. And they're having a hard time helping somebody else because they need some help. I pray, Lord, they would get to the omnipotent God and find what they need from Him. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive us of being more concerned about our religion than the people on the porches. And touch our hearts, Lord. Help us not to live our lives like they're not there. Remind us. And help us. In Jesus' name.